Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 156. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, we're playing old games and new games. All the games.
All the games.
Nothing super new, but nothing super old. Super old is probably the next podcast.
Well, yeah.
Semi-old. SNES. That's only semi-old.
Actually, I'm going to call it 16-bit era, because you guys had SNESs, I had a Genesis.
Yeah, I only could play Genesis when we borrowed it from my aunt. And the only game we really played was Mortal Kombat. And then my brother and I would get mad at each other because one would be the other person, and my parents took it away and gave it back. But the same thing happened to Street Fighter 2 sometimes. But they wouldn't take the system away because it was ours. We just had to stop playing. We are much better than that. We're older when we play fighting games. We don't actually fight.
We fight just in the way that you're meant to.
Yes, on the screen, not in real life. He cheated.
Yeah, I mean, my week's mainly been taken up with Torchlight, so.
You installed Torchlight too. Sorry, we haven't gotten around to that yet.
No, I've installed it.
I have it.
It's just one of those things you say install and then you leave the house for 2 hours.
Yeah, I should do it before I go to work. That'd be a good time. But then my computer gets all crazy when it's in sleep mode. It goes the fan's really loud. And we don't know why. It's not doing anything in sleep.
I've noticed that it only seems to do it when you have a browser open with a video player in it.
Maybe it's the DVDs.
It could be that. Maybe you're just hearing the disc spinning.
Maybe. We've digressed. Let's go back on topic.
Yeah. So, you continued playing Fire Emblem and gotten how far into it?
I still haven't gotten really much far. I'm up to chapter 20, in between chapter 19 and chapter 20. But I've just been going around doing random battles, raising character levels, and marrying everybody off. I've almost finished marrying everybody off. I'm almost done. I think I have two groups of characters I gotta marry off without counting the kids.
So when you get the kids, do you have to then marry off all the kids?
Yes, the kids can all marry each other too.
So once you're done marrying everybody off to get their kids, then you have to finish marrying everybody off.
But not everybody's gonna get married because not everybody is a marryable character and...
Well, there's essentially no point to marrying the kids except for the
bonuses.
Combat bonuses, yeah.
So you gotta marry all the, you know, the parents off. That way the kids pop up on the map so you can get them. Otherwise, you don't get the kids. I just picked up Owain the other night, who is Lisa's child. Everything's based on the mother, not the father. All the mothers. He's crazy. Mostly because he acts like his sword arm is like sort of like possessed or has a mind of its own, and it's all he can do to contain it without wanting to kill people and such. Yeah, he's a little crazy.
The characters in this game are a bit bizarre.
Yeah, some of them are written very stereotypically a lot. They have very sort of narrow spectrums, so to speak. But considering I married Lisa off with Vike, however you want to say his name, who he always refers to himself in the third person, calls his axe teach, and tells everybody that they're about to get schooled, he makes a very good dad for Owain. It kind of explains a little bit of the craziness of my thoughts. I'm like, sure, we'll just stick two blonde characters together because their son's going to be blonde. It works out. At least in my mind.
You're going with the genetics there, huh?
Yeah, but I'm not like, you know, you can min-max the child characters. Like, you take two parents, and you make sure that these two parents are on certain tracks through the classes and have certain abilities, and once they get those certain abilities, then you pair them off, because then your child inherits four out of those, you know, eight abilities, basically. They get two from the parent, you know, mom, and two from the dad. And sometimes they can also pick up different classes that they normally couldn't have access to. So, yeah, but I don't do that. That's just, to me, is like, this is too much, kind of weird. It's like you're just breeding them so you don't make a better unit later.
You are just breeding them to make a unit later.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
But I'm not doing it with the sole purpose. I'm like, okay, I'm going to this one and this one because I like these stats, and combining will make this rich. And I'm like, no, I'm just like, I think these two characters make a very compatible team. And they seem to, you know, I don't know, from a relationship view, seem to work out better than... I'm doing it based on relationships, not because they have good stats.
If they happen to have good stats, that's just a happy side effect.
It's a happy bonus, yes. And yeah, I haven't played much more. I've just been raising levels and marrying people off. I will finish Fire Emblem. I have not finished a game in like forever, so, well.
Not since the last Zelda, right?
No, I've finished games since then. I've been playing my 3DS a little bit more. I finished one of the... I finished 3D Mario Land. Mario Land 3D. And I'm working my way still through New Super Mario Bros. 2. Which is get all the gold. Oh my gosh. Get all the gold coins. Make everything rain gold. Did you turn everything into...
Mario took Wario's job.
Yeah, like him and Luigi just like are even more grabby than Wario ever was. So I've been working through those.
I myself played and beat Bastion in probably about 2 weeks. I was going through the Steam sales. It's like, hey, I bought that game. I heard it was a good game. I should play that game.
Yeah, that was me. I'm a little bit further along in Bastion than when I first was. What's your favorite weapon combo?
I liked the stabby spear.
Stabby spear.
It gives you the long range, the really long reach to stab stuff with, or you can throw it.
I don't think I ever used that one.
And then, while it's difficult to use, right, I like the final weapon you get, which blows stuff up good. However, do not stand too close to your target. It does have backsplash.
I accidentally, what was it? Oh, I was wanting to rage quit because it was just really hard. I ended up smoking the hookah pipe, and you get trapped into like a sort of dreamscape world, which sort of tells you a lot of the backstory of your character as you're playing through the levels. We had to get through like 20 levels of it.
Wow. I didn't get that far through it. I tried twice, too.
I didn't get that far. I got over halfway, but I was just struggling. I'm never good at dodging. I was getting better at the dodging towards the end, but then the floor starts falling out in a lot of places, and it's just like, this is just not fun.
For me, it's not necessarily the dodge I have to get good at. It's using the shield at an opportune time. That way I hurt the enemies when they attack me.
Maybe you just need a different weapon. I like to use a dagger. Stabbity, stabbity. Or short sword. It's a dagger, I thought.
I don't know, it's been quite a while since I've played Bastion, so I don't remember what all the weapons are. I remember you start with, I think, the hammer, right?
Yeah, the first thing you find is your old friend, the hammer.
I love that narrator. Look at him, cutting down on them bushes. He's gonna get prize or something.
So all the other games work.
I'm pretty sure they're just like, well, we're going to get some Zelda fans, some Diablo fans. We're all going to be like, destroy all the things.
I still destroy all the things. You get the little blue wispy things.
Fragments of the old world.
Because that's what you have to use as the spending currency for things.
Mm. Basically, when you spend it, it recreates that part of the old world. Mm. Then eventually you find things out about the old man and other stuff. And actually, it didn't have a bad story.
It's an old game, so if you haven't played through it and you think, oh my gosh, you just spoiled it, I'm sorry, I'm not that far, but I did rescue somebody. Somebody else did survive the calamity, so...
A good chunk of his race actually survived, as did another girl of his race, but you and the old man are the only two of your own race, the Solidians? I think that's what they were called. I don't really remember. That survived. And then at the very end, after you've gotten all the cores and all the shards, you decide whether you leave the world as it is, or you just escape with the old man and the other girl you rescue, or if you remake the world, you basically remake the world before the calamity. But when you do that, you basically go back to where you were before it happened and don't remember anything that happened prior. Hmm. Which there are a few heartstrings they tug at to try and make the decision hard. I had to go with the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few on that one, though. But good game. I enjoyed it. Fun gameplay. And yeah, the narrator's just... he's half the reason to play the game, pretty perfectly honest. I mean, it's so pointless sometimes, but it's like, yeah, he's fun.
Well, it's very, like, dynamic, because it doesn't feel static, because...
yeah, because the narration responds to what you're doing.
It's like when you fall off a cliff, it's like, gotta be careful around these parts. It's a little slippery. Oh, yeah, I had the same thing with cutting down prickly bushes. Like, look at him, cutting down those prickly bushes. Think there's gonna be a bounty or something for it.
Yeah, I already went over that one.
No, you went over the other bushes. He does it multiple different times for different types of plants.
Oh. I guess I haven't gotten around that far to experiment with all the bushes.
All the bushes.
Anywho, we're getting way digressed. Sorry, people. And you've been playing Torchlight?
Yeah. There's not terrible much to report with that. You know, I mean...
it's an old game.
Yeah. You're in the fire level, at least. The fiery lava fortress level.
Yeah.
There's dragons there. Have fun.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of the portal levels. Trying to just, you know, basically level myself up in those where the risk is a little bit less.
So you have the fire level. Did you already run through the water level? It's an RPG. There has to be a water level somewhere.
I don't know if there's a water level ahead. There's not been one before. Because there's basically the mines, the crypts, the...
jungle-y part.
Yeah, like the jungle ruins. The weird cavern.
Yeah, like areas. Mushroom caverns with waterfalls.
Yeah. And then the dwarven fortress. I don't know what else is after that. This is as far as I've gotten before.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I finished the game, but I can't, like, remember how far it went. I was just like, level.
Yeah. Oh, I'm done?
I've gotten to be quite aware of just how fragile my character is without, you know, because I've basically poured everything into minions. So I've got to make sure stuff does not come after me.
Don't get swarmed.
Yeah.
Don't grab the aggros.
On the other hand, I can just, you know, leave... I mean, and all I have is two of the little imps, the alchemical golem, and my pet. And that's enough. I just throw the thorns, basically a thorn spell on them, and just let everything attack them and die, and them attack things, and it works pretty good. Gave my puppy the summon skeleton spell. So he's, you know, good. Because I cannot remember... to cast those spells myself, usually.
All the time, yeah.
So I just basically, I'm like, here, dog, do the things for me. Summon skeletons and cast, you know, dervish on yourself. And I'll, meanwhile, try and remember to, you know, throw elemental overload on myself. You know.
Puppy does it. He's like, okay, skeleton. Skeleton cigarettes. Okay, skeleton.
Actually, I've gotten to a higher level skeleton that they overlap the, cooldown and the destruction time, so I can actually end up having like two skeletons around most of the time, which is good.
Yay. That's cool. You can have the pets cast spells. I still think that's an awesome idea.
Everything with those pets was an awesome idea.
Good town for me.
Just as
the
long.
The only other thing that they could add is if you could throw all of your green items on the pet and have him go and disenchant them for you.
Yeah, send all the trash, and then put all the disenchants, and then or if you could just visit your bank while he's there, too.
Or if you could just disenchant in the field or something, I don't know. Just break stuff down to gems.
That might make him a bit more overpowered, though. You might start wondering, why am I working for this fool?
I do all of grunt work. And it's a
my
dog.
My puppy is actually a Herodric cube.
Stay a while and listen. Have a milk bone.
Good dog.
Yeah, we're out of it today, people.
Well, because we're recording on Thursday, which is bizarre.
Yeah, well, we didn't record on Sunday, and you guys are busy this Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have time to record again. So it was this or nothing, and I'd rather this. So I'm going to talk about a few news things. Microsoft realized that they did a piss-poor job introducing the Xbox One to everybody. So rumor is they're going to reintroduce it to people. So I need to find more information on that one, but maybe they're going to actually do a better job explaining its pros and not just saying it's like, it can do this, without telling us why we want it to do that.
Did no one tell Microsoft about the whole, you know, first impressions and you can't redo that?
Take it back.
Somebody needs to tell the company I work for that one. But one of the things they have announced to try and help that was, yes, it will have a proprietary adapter for headsets, but there'll be an adapter to plug into that that allow it to be backwards compatible with old headsets. Or let's see, it was Albert Pinello was the one that tweeted, yes, we will have an adapter that allows current gaming headsets to work, which is the company lead plan, and he's the company lead planner for the Xbox One.
See, it's like they announced all this stuff, and I don't think they were expecting the reaction that they got, and they're like, okay, we gotta make some concessions here because, oh my gosh, we just did a PR face plant.
Well, I wonder to what degree they're actually changing things, and to what degree they're actually, like, really kind of emphasizing more things they'd already planned but didn't think were important enough to ever mention, like
the adapter.
I mean, they probably were already doing that. They just were like, we're gonna have a headset, new headset adapter, and everyone's just like, I don't want to buy a new headset. And the Microsoft's, we didn't think of people who already have headsets.
What they should have just done, and maybe it has Bluetooth on there, Bluetooth headsets. Just make it compatible with Bluetooth headsets.
Actually, really cool.
The PlayStation works with Bluetooth. The PlayStation 3 uses Bluetooth for their headsets. You can use your... If you have a PlayStation...
Could you literally just use your little hands-free for your phone?
Yeah. I also found out that I can actually...
That would get really awkward if someone was on your PlayStation and then you were getting your car and... Though I don't think you can inadvertently pair things. I don't think you can inadvertently pair a headset with multiple devices at the same time.
Mine you can.
Oh.
It actually has phone 1 and phone 2 programmed into it, so when you turn it on, it says what it's connecting to or what's connecting to it. But I think you can only transmit to one at a time, so it'll
look
for both.
That's kind of what I was meaning. Okay. That you couldn't have someone, you know, cursing out, you know, some guy on Battlefield or whatever while you're trying to drive her.
But so, it'd be nice if just, you'd be a bit out of range for that, because they have, like, 30-foot range, I think.
It would be like us in the living room if you put, you know, we're in the Fiesta, or turn the Fiesta on, because it has Bluetooth, and sometimes it still syncs when you're in the living room.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember. It doesn't show that it drops off until I've, like, driven to the end of the block, but I'm just assuming that it's kind of...
It's probably trying to find the connection.
Yeah, like, I'm still totally connected, guys. No, I'm not.
I'm trying so hard!
And then events for the weekend. I'm going to kind of move on. We can go back to a...
There's nothing to go back to.
The Colorado Cutthroat Connection is doing Cutthroat Con this Friday and Saturday at the Tivoli.
What is...
The Colorado Cutthroat Connection?
They're the guys that sponsor all the video game events at, like, Denver Comic Con, Enemy Land Wasabi, and NDK. So this is their actual convention.
Oh, okay.
You guys remember a while back, right after Wasabi Land, I did that preview of that mobile game that was coming out?
Yes.
Thank you. That gentleman is from there.
Okay.
He works with that group. He has his own studio and everything, but he works with that group, and that's how I found him there. So as I said, it's going to be at the Tivoli downtown this week. Basically Friday night to Saturday night. And for those of you that don't know where the Tivoli is, I hope you know at least where the Pepsi Center is, and it's across the street from the Pepsi Center. If you don't know where the Pepsi Center is and you live in the Denver area, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, the Tivoli is a bit of a landmark itself. That's
true. So if you don't know where either of these are, I'm not going to give you directions.
That's what Google Maps is for.
I mean, literally, saying the Tivoli should be enough.
Yeah. This is why sometimes when people offer to give me directions to a place, I'm like, don't bother, just tell me the address.
It's easier now.
Except just if it's really close or somebody is just lost. I get some people who just get lost a lot. Because we're slightly off the beaten path, but just slightly.
Oh, you guys aren't that bad.
We're just in kind of a weird place where, you know, our street looks like...
Well, I don't mean here at home. I mean at work. Yeah.
This part of Arvada is essentially a grid. There's only a few streets that are a little weird and, you know, like Ralston, it follows the stream, but everything else is just like...
Grid. Yeah, I know.
So I might make it down to the cutthroat thing. I really don't know because I do have other things going on that day.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have art night, and then we gotta go pick up my parents from the airport.
So where's art night gonna be now that the coffee place went out of business?
We're gonna try to be at the Caribou Coffee over at Denver West. Let's hope they're nice.
Denver West. Where the heck is...
It's across from Colorado Mills. One side is Denver West. The other side is the Mills.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy.
I know where that is.
You want to know...
Why does Angie drive so far for this?
Because everybody else lives, like, for the rest of us, that's like a 10-15 minute drive. And for one person, they actually work in the Mills.
Okay. That would do it.
But the other thing is, all the coffee shops we can find around here close at like 5, 6 o'clock at night. We need something open till at least 9. 10 preferably. That's why the press was awesome.
And a place that doesn't mind if we bring in food and are there for hours.
Yeah, literally 8 hours if you...
And Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Free Wi-Fi. I mean, we don't like burn through their bandwidth or anything, but...
No, but I'm looking up stuff for D&D a lot of the time.
I don't really have much else to talk about, unfortunately. Next podcast, we should hopefully have another group conversation about games of the past. And when I say past, I mean past. Not, 2 years ago.
We're talking 16-bit era. We're going to hit, the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo probably the most. I don't know how many of us are playing games on our computers. Well, I didn't have a computer yet.
I had games on my computer, but they were like the educational games.
Like the Amazon Trail?
I tried playing that once. I didn't like it.
You gather all the specimens.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Only got to play that at school.
I was very sad because that was back in the day. I didn't even have a sound card. So I couldn't hear the chief dog. It was like little blurps of text. I was like, aw.
The past days where you actually was like, okay, I need to get a sound card for my computer. When you worried more about sound cards and video cards, now you worry about the video card more than the sound card. If you have a sound card, you're like, why are you buying a sound card? Don't you just use you buy those if you're an actual professional audio person. Yeah. Otherwise,
nowadays you have, onboard sound. It's like back then, the sound card was like an extra thing.
It was hard to create sound then. Now it's harder to create really awesome graphics.
Beep boop.
Well, beep boop, you typically got off the board itself. But if you wanted voice...
Oh, yeah. When people actually cared about their CD speed.
It's like 24x? Oh, man, I'm flying.
No, I remember when we got a 4x one and we're like, whoa! Like four times faster than normal. Holy cow!
It's like looking at processor speeds now. You're like 512 megabytes. Oh my gosh! Now we have quad core processors.
I remember the first time we hit the 1 gigahertz processor. I'm like, oh, I have to get one of those. Computers make me feel old.
Computers just changed a lot.
Remember those old, little Macs they used to have at school? The Apple IIs that... No hard disk. It's basically just load floppies.
Yeah. Did anybody else use QWERTY Teaches Typing?
I don't remember it. I remember learning typing from Daffy Duck.
It was like the little asterisk guy. The little thing like that. And his name was QWERTY. From like the top row of keys. And he was the one who taught us typing when I was in fifth grade.
Is it funny that we still use a keyboard layout that is purposely made to slow you down?
Yes.
Who getting stuck in conventions? Who wants to learn? Was it Dvorak or whatever?
Actually, one of my Remedy admin does. He has a program that changes the layout to Dvorak. So when somebody sits down at his computer, he has to change it back.
Is that standard? Is that just on computers?
Dvorak? I don't know.
You could really mess with people. I could really mess with people at work. They would freak out.
He said it took him 6 months to learn it, but he does type faster now. However, video games are a little pain in the ass, he said. Because you have to remap everything.
Oh, because it's still...
WASD,
yeah,
which isn't there.
Yeah, but WASD aren't necessarily near. I don't know. I have no idea what Dvorak looks like. I don't know. Weird.
Well, that's what it originally was, but secretaries could type too fast on old-fashioned typewriters and all the hammers would hit and stick, and that's why they kind of purposely switched it.
Yeah.
At least that's...
That's the story.
That's the story.
The only believable story I've ever heard on why they would purposely slow you down.
I mean, it was a mechanical limitation is what it was. I thought it was just that it was where things were, not so much, and connecting them to the keys and not so much slowing people down so they didn't cross them.
See, I heard that, well, the way I heard it was they purposely put them in places where keys that weren't commonly hit together wouldn't be next to each other so you wouldn't jam the type heads. Which is pretty much the same thing as purposely slowing you down.
Yeah.
Wow, that's off topic. Anywho, so we will see you all, guys, probably in about a week and a half. Sound about right?
Well, it depends on when I'm able to get this edited.
Okay. Well, we'll see you all sometime soon. In the meantime, everybody have a great week. You can find us on thegameslave.com, facebook.com/thegameslave, Twitter @thegameslave, so on and so forth. You've all heard this before. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.